We are today. What is this day, children? Tu Bishvat, the 15th of the month of Shvat. So now we have. Chaim, where are you going? Okay. Come right back. It's a mitzvah. It's a commandment. You know that once a year we have a special day called. And it's the birthday of the trees. So this day, there's the blossom begins, and this is today. Let's hope today will happen to us as well, because there is a saying that a person is like the tree, and well, let's start a new life. Go ahead. So, Tu Bishvat, well...
So we're reading from the selected excerpts on Tu Bishvat. We'll start from excerpt number 1. This is from Rabash, letter 46. It is known that Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, is a time of judgment, when the world is sentenced favorably or unfavorably. Rosh means root, and the branches emerge from the root. The branches always extend according to the essence of the root. Thus, a root of figs will not produce branches of dates, and so forth. As the root and beginning that a person establishes for himself in the beginning, so he continues his procession of life. Also, the judgment that a person is judged in the beginning of the year means that a person judges himself, and he is the arbiter and executor, for man is the arbiter, the litigant, and the knowledgeable one and witness. It is as our sages said, there is judgment below, there is no judgment above.
Okay. If there are any questions... Yes.
Rav, אם זה בסדר לבקש הקדמה על ט"ו בשבט.
Rav, if it's okay to ask for an introduction about ט"ו בשבט.
No, we'll read the excerpts and you'll get it from it. If that won't be enough, we have a well-known letter about ט"ו בשבט. Rabash wrote a letter 29. Rabash explains there a lot. There's also the Teme Mitzvot written on Tu Bishvat. Yeah, we have excerpts to read, but let's first read these excerpts. Yes.
Quote number 2 from Rabash, from Rabash letter 29. The 15th of Shvat is called the beginning of the year, when a person has already calculated whether to continue in the work or to the contrary, for by now he knows from which discernment he can draw life, from matters of self-reception or matters of bestowing contentment upon his Maker.
Yes, that's this thing is sentences.
Number 3, this is from Rabash, Rosh Hashanah for the trees. Rosh Hashanah for the trees, man is called the tree of the field, and Rosh Hashanah is the time of sentencing, for judgment or for mercy. Hence, the month of Shvat is the 5th of the winter months, which is regarded as Hod, when Dave, affliction, becomes Hod, glory. This means that when we are rewarded with walking in the quality of Chesed, he extends from the Sfira of Chesed to Hod, and all the blessing is in the quality of Chesed. As it is written, for I said, a world of Chesed shall be built, where through the blessing we are rewarded with fruits. It is, as Baal Sulam wrote, that this is why on the 15th of Shvat we bless on the fruits, since this is the whole distinction between Kedusha and Klipa. For another god is sterile and does not bear fruit. The success in the work to be rewarded with fruits is only through chesed, since when we work with the quality of bestowal, called chesed, we are rewarded with dvekut, with the Creator, and when we are rewarded with dvekut, we are rewarded with everything. Hence, on the 15th of Shvat, called Rosh Hashanah for the trees, we must strengthen ourselves with the quality of chesed, for by this we will be rewarded with fruits called a fruit-bearing tree.
Next.
Quote number 4 from Rabash letter 29. It is written, for man is the tree of the field, that is, all the works applied to trees in order to make them fit for bearing fruit also applied to men. Until a person is ready to bear fruit, he must endure all the works applied to trees. The fruits are man's final goal, and once, at a 15th of Shvat meal, Baal HaSulam explained why there is the matter of eating fruits. He said that it is because this is the whole difference between Kedusha and Sitra Acha. As it is written in the Zohar, another god is infertile and does not bear fruit. As he interprets in the Sulam, that is, their source runs dry, and they wither until they are completely shut. But those who advance in Kedusha are rewarded with blessing in their works, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. This is why the people of Israel make an indication of it, to show that the main thing is the fruits. And the fruits of holiness are by being rewarded with the revelation of his godliness. And he becomes as a never-ending fountain, advancing from degree to degree until he is rewarded and says, he will be glorified in me, for he desires me, and he will be to me a gazelle's crown.
Citut mispar 5 mitoch Rabash Bet Igeret Nun Hey. Rabbi Yochanan Shoel,
Bechiyadam number 5. From Rabash letter 55. Rabbi Yochanan asks, is man the tree of the field? That is, what similarity is there between man and the tree of the field? What do we learn by the comparison in text between man and the tree of the field? He brings evidence to that from the verse, you may eat of it, but do not cut it down. Referring to the wise disciple, if he is decent, meaning learning lishma, which means that he is learning things that will lead him to yielding fruits, it means that this learning will make him bear fruit, meaning mitzvot and good deeds. He will learn this because by that he will be rewarded with the potion of life. This is the meaning of, you may eat from it, but do not cut it down. If not, if you see that the learning you are learning does not bring you to do mitzvot and good deeds, called fruits, then know that it belongs to the Sitra Acha and not to the Kedusha. This is the reason for the custom to eat fruits on the 15th of Shvat, to imply that we are going by the way of holiness and we have fruits.
Excerpt number 6 from letter number 29 by Rabash. Thus, one must give oneself an account each day, renew his work in overcoming, and forget the past. Instead, he should be very confident that from this day forth he will succeed in achieving permanent and eternal dvekut, adhesion.
I think that we have to read the letter 29 after all. I don't know if we'll have time. Half an hour will do. Read.
So we're going to read letter number 29 by Rabash. It's in the writings of Rabash,
עמוד 1472, איגרת כ"ט.
It's page 120 in the writings of Rabash, volume 1.
Listen, those who don't have a book, also, just listen. That's good too.
So, the writings of Rabash, volume 1, page 120, letter number 29. To the friends, may they live forever. Some time ago, I wrote you a letter, but still received no reply if it has reached you. And except for you are all slacking in your letters to me. This must be a matter of an act that time causes. And I'll say no more. Concerning Rosh Hashanah, beginning of the year for the trees, which is on the 15th of Shvat, in the Masechet of Rosh Hashanah, on the 1st of Shvat, what is the reason? Rabbi Yeshaya said, it is because most of the rains of the year have passed. It was written in the Tosfot that the above reason is also according to Bet Hillel, who concur with the 15th of Shvat, since by then the majority of the rainy days have passed, and it is the time of crouching, and the resin is abundant in the trees, and the fruits have ripened. In the Masechet of Rosh Hashanah, it is said, one who comes out on a Nisan day and sees blooming trees and says, blessed is he who did not deprive his world of anything and created in it good creations and good trees with which to delight people. We should understand, one, what does he did not deprive his world mean? Are blooming trees a proof that nothing is missing? Two, created good creations. What proof is this that creations are good? Three, the connection between man and tree. Four, it is known that if the majority of the rainy days have passed, it is a sign of the beginning of the year. This reason is both according to Bet Shammai and according to Bet Hillel. First, we need to understand the meaning of Rosh Hashanah in the work. It is known that Rosh Hashanah is the time of judgment, din, when people are sentenced favorably or to the contrary. Rosh, head, is regarded a root from which the branches emerge. The branches always extend according to the essence of the root. For a root of oranges will not bring out branches of apples. According to the root and the Rosh that a person establishes for himself at first, so he continues his life. The root is the foundation upon which the whole construction is built. The judgment that a person is judged in the beginning of the year means that a person himself is the judge and the executor. Since the person himself is the judge, the arbiter, the plaintiff, and the witness. It is as our sages said, there is a judgment below, there is no judgment above. Rains mean vitality and pleasure, by which the tree bears fruits. Man's main work is during the winter days, on the long nights of Tevet. From Tishrei, which is the general beginning of the year, to Shvat, the majority of the rainy days have passed, meaning that a person has already received vitality and pleasure from Torah and work. At that time, a person sentences himself. If he should continue throughout the year only with Torah and work, or to the contrary, if he has one advocating angel over him out of 1,000 to testify to one's integrity, meaning if he has merit, then a person is notified of his integrity, meaning that he will walk on the right path. At that time, out of 1,000, as in, I will teach you wisdom. Then, after the deliberation, he is acquitted in the judgment, meaning that he has taken upon himself to henceforth engage only in pure things, called bestowal, both for the Creator and for people. But this is true only if merits are the majority, meaning that until now the majority of the vitality has received was from the matters of bestowal. At that time he decides that it is worth continuing, and then he is considered that he has been declared innocent. But if he did not receive the majority of vitality from spiritual matters, but derived all of his vitality from corporeal matters, and if he has merit, called an advocating angel, then he is also declared innocent. That is, he decides to continue for the rest of the year only with matters of bestowal. If the majority are iniquities, meaning that after all the works and labors, he still received the majority of vitality from matters of the will to receive for himself, the root of all iniquities and sins, then he is declared guilty. That is, he takes upon himself to henceforth proceed only as the rest of the world does, meaning with the matters that are only for reception for oneself. This is man's guilt, since matters that are in reception for oneself detain a person from achieving one's eternal perfection and be awarded the sublime pleasures. This is regarded as condemning oneself. When one decides to continue the rest of his days only with matters that are condemning for the soul. This is why the Tosfot write, since by then the majority of the rainy days have passed, and the resin is abundant in the trees, and the fruits have ripened. That is, if he has passed the majority of the long nights of the winter days in Torah and work, and the resin is abundant in the trees, and he knows and feels that a fire is burning in his heart, as in, her flames are flames of fire, the fire of the Lord. He decides to continue on this path. This is the meaning of, and the fruits have ripened, meaning that henceforth he will be rewarded with fruits. For this reason, the 15th of Shvat is called the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, when a person has already calculated whether to continue in the work or to the contrary. For by now he knows from which discernment he can draw life, from matters of self-reception or matters of bestowing contentment upon his Maker. He knows that all his work is only to obtain the desire to bestow, since the Creator has prepared for us desire to receive the pleasures at the time of creation, for he desires to do good to his creations, and created the will to receive. Creation, too, would have remained the desire to receive, meaning that if we receive the abundance of spirituality and eternity in our will to receive, the pleasures would have been incomplete from the perspective of the branch that wishes to resemble the root. This is why there is the bread of shame. This would leave creation deficient. For this reason, the Creator has prepared for us a correction called tzimtzum, restriction. That is, where there is a will to receive, a person feels concealment, as it is written in the introduction to the Sulam, to the ladder commentary, that although the life that is clothed in the body extends existence from existence, its original root is still not apparent due to the tzimtzum. And through adapting to Torah and work, we are rewarded with a correction called reception in order to bestow, by which we are rewarded with dvekut, adhesion with Him. It follows that by this, everything becomes completed. This is the meaning of who did not deprive his world of anything, referring to the correction of bestowal, as will be written below. Now we will explain the connection between trees and people, which our sages connected. It is written, for man is the tree of the field. That is, all the works applied to trees in order to make them fit for bearing fruit apply also to man. Until a person is ready to bear fruit, he must endure all the works applied to trees. The fruits are man's final goal. And once, at the 15th of Shvat meal, Baal HaSulam explained why there is the matter of eating fruits. He said that it is because this is the whole difference between Kedusha, holiness, and Sidra Acha, other side. As it is written in the Zohar, another god is infertile and does not bear fruit. As he interprets in the Sulam, that is, their source runs dry and they wither until they are completely shut. But those who advance in Kedusha are rewarded with blessing in their works, which yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. This is why the people of Israel make an indication of it, to show that the main thing is the fruits, and the fruits of holiness are by being rewarded with the revelation of his godliness, and he becomes as a never-ending fountain, advancing from degree to degree, until he is rewarded and says, he will be glorified in me, for he desires me, and he will be to me a gazelle's crown. The works that apply to trees were also given to man to qualify him. In Shvi'it, he brings things that are required for tending the tree to trees. And from this we learn concerning man's work, fertilizing, providing them with fertilizer. Likewise, man needs to add fertilizer to himself, which is waste, indecent qualities in a person. However, one should not bring the fertilizer from outside, as is done with trees, but should bring the fertilizer from concealment to disclosure, meaning into his senses. So we will feel the measure of the lowliness of his indecent qualities. Otherwise, one cannot correct one's actions. Hoeing, digging at the base of the trees. Likewise, man should dig and search his purpose, namely, what is the purpose for which he has come into this world. Removing calluses, cutting off the calluses, which are flaws that appear in the trees. A callus is something that is outside one's body. There are several things that a person does and which are seen outward by people. That is, during the prayer or when he speaks words of piousness to his friend, by which his friend sees his work that is outside his body. These must be cut out and canceled. Instead, be humble with the Lord your God. That is, when a person performs some work for the Creator, the sign is, if he seeks to conceal it from people, this is a mark that his aim is true. If not, it is to the contrary. He is craving only to disclose to people, and he is purifying the body outwards with poor excuses. But when he is aiming for the Creator, he naturally wants to cover the matter. Removing the leaves from the tree to make it easier on it. Likewise, man has leaves which precede the fruits, meaning that the fruits emerge on the leaves. This is the meaning of the coming from Lolishma, not for her sake, to Lishma, for her sake. The Lolishma is called leaves, and the fruit are called Lishma. However, these leaves should be removed in order to make it easier on the tree to achieve Lishma. Otherwise, if one does not remove the Lolishma, he will remain in that state of Lolishma. Afterwards, when rewarded with Lishma, it is written, its leaf will not wither. Rather, all the works that were in Lolishma eventually enter Kedusha, holiness. And there is a higher interpretation, as it is written in the Sulam, that leaves are the forces of judgment in the Masach, in the screen. Meaning that the Tzimtzum was on the will to receive, that no abundance would illuminate, but there would be darkness. By this, the Masach is born. It follows that the force of the judgment of the departure of the light brings him to make a Masach by which he receives the strength to receive in order to bestow. Also, during the preparation, prior to being awarded entrance to the Creator's palace, one should grow accustomed to the powers of overcoming the desire for self-reception. The way is to begin with small things, which do not give him that much delight and pleasure, and are easier to relinquish and say about them. Were it not a mitzvah to engage in these matters, I wouldn't do them. Afterwards, he adds, until he accustoms himself to relinquish even the most important things for himself, even with things that touch his soul, he can say that, were it not a mitzvah, he would not engage in them. All this is required for him to be strong and trained in war. And then he is awarded entrance to the Creator's palace to be among God's servants. The force that compels him to keep himself from all the things, so he will not be immersed in desires of self-reception, is the force of judgment, which rules and keeps him from failing in the above. This is so because when he has self-interest, the vitality and abundance promptly depart from him. Therefore, he determines and decides and keeps a masach that he will receive specifically in order to bestow. It is likewise in the manners of the preparation. The above-mentioned force of judgment shows its power and its actions are apparent until one decides, once and for all, never to breach the laws of the Torah. But until one arrives at that final resolution, as an unbreakable law, one is in a state of back and forth, regarding as a catapult, until one comes to fear the punishment of the above-mentioned force of judgment. Allegorically, even when one feels elated and thinks that he will never fall, if he fails with self-interest, in mind or in heart, the power of judgment promptly rules over him, and the spiritual vitality departs from him. That is, he is denied of all the desire and fancy that he had in Torah and the work, and he falls into the authority of the Sidra Acha, who governs him. He has no tactic or strength to overcome her, and he follows her like sheep to the slaughter. She forces him to crave and derive vitality from the lowest desires of reception in reality, meaning such base things that ordinary God-fearing people will never want. The reason for this is that he was used to receiving spiritual vitality, and he finds nothing tasteful about the ordinary trivialities of this world. So until he receives some reward instead of the spiritual vitality that he possessed, when he derived emotional satisfaction from them, he craves the lowest of the worldly matters. Perhaps there he will be able to satisfy his soul. At that time, he is suspicious of every transgression in the Torah, since the power of judgment pushes him into the Sidra Acha, and the desire to receive sees to fulfilling oneself with pleasure, so he will have vitality to fill up for the Sidra Acha, called the root of the will to receive for oneself alone. For this reason, he descends to the place of lowliness. Perhaps there he will find what he seeks. But it is questionable whether he finds what he is seeking. And yet, he pokes through the trash like chickens pecking through the trash. At the beginning of the fall, he still remembers the spiritual state that he had, meaning that a reshimo, recollection, still remains in him. At that time, he still knows that now he is considered dead, meaning doomed all the lowly things, whether in thought or in action. Action too, in a place where he feels no shame from people. And yet, he knows that this is not man's purpose, and it is lowliness. He intellectually understands that he must overcome this time of descent. Although he knows and sees and feels, he is lying like the dead, hopeless, and tied with ropes of aviyut, under the authority of the Sidra Acha. The memory that he remembers seems to him like a good dream, that he will never be able to dream again. This is what he knows and feels. He's absolutely certain that it is impossible to continue the spiritual state that he had then. In other words, he does not have the strength of devotion and faith above reason as before. For this reason, this Rishimo brings him nothing but suffering, because he is utterly incapable of escaping his current state. And because it is human nature to forget the suffering, for it is our nature to forget the dead, meaning that if he remembers his spiritual time, he sees that now he is dead. So he comes into an even greater descent. That is, he forgets his good state and believes that he has always been in the current state of self-reception and never desired the work of the Creator. Meaning that the words, "and you who cling," were certainly not said about him. Instead, all of his vitality comes only from corporeal matters. And if he sometimes remembers that he had a spiritual state, he excuses himself that even then it was probably not genuine, but an imitation. And most importantly, he does not need to come out of this state. But if he finally thinks, "What shall become of the correction of the soul?" he excuses himself that he will correct it in the next life, but not now. And then he comes into an even greater descent, meaning that he forgets to think for even one moment about everything that is happening with him. Instead, he is without any calculations, flowing with the currents of the world and having fun, like everyone else. This is the meaning of descending and inciting a person towards self-reception. And ascending and slandering means that he has broken the laws of Torah and takes his soul and remains without any vitality. This continues until he is pitied from heaven and is made to somehow fall into a good environment of books or authors, and he suddenly begins to feel again, "The voice of my beloved is knocking." Sometimes it can be to the contrary, that he comes into a lowlier environment, and by observing their lowliness, he suddenly begins to feel the herald, "Return, O mischievous sons." Then he promptly musters strength and is reminded of the ways and laws he had received and heard, and he becomes elated once again. and promptly exits all the loneliness and is revived. At that time, he already feels that he has the power to overcome by powers of devotion, and he begins to choose the good once more and loathe the bad. Only then he is the judge of choice and good counsels and upright conducts and has the strength to go forward. But during the death, meaning when his dead is lying before him, no condolences are accepted. As it is written, the dead are free. For when a person dies, he becomes free of mitzvot, and no advice can help him. And if he feels with self-interest once more, the quality of judgment hits him once again, and he is placed in a catapult until the living, meaning the time when he is alive, will put it into his heart to beware and guard himself with all kinds of caution, so he does not fall again into the authority of the Sidracha. The fear from the force of judgment continues until it is carved in his heart, that he will determine his conduct steadfast, as it is written, and he saw the Canaanite and took up his discourse and said, your seed is firm. Rashi interpreted that wicked Balaam said, I wonder from where you have been granted this, for you were with him in the council. Let us deal wisely with them. And now you have settled in the firm and the strong of Israel. In other words, the Sidracha comes to him with the argument, what is the matter with you? You always walked with me concerning matters of self-reception, and now you have set up your state firm to not move an inch from your spiritual place. This is called fear of punishment. When he observes the laws of the Torah for fear of punishment of the power of judgment, this is the meaning of removing, as in, he asks it and he answers it, meaning ascents and descents. Through the questions and the answers, one determines the real form of the work of the Creator. Dusting, the exposed roots are covered with dust. The root is regarded as thought, which is the root of action. If the thoughts are revealed, meaning that one looks in every place and spies on every place, both on the ways and conducts one has received from one's teachers, whether they are true, then one needs to struggle with these thoughts, as in, And a man strove with him, said about Esav's minister, and accept them above reason. This is the meaning of, and be dusting in the dust of their feet. This means that although you have spies who say, we will not go up, and although their spies, meaning the thoughts of the students, bring up dust, meaning that it seems to them that their teacher's words are as valuable as dust, he should still take his teacher's words above reason. Here I will offer an example. Baal HaSulam promised us that by walking in his path and following his guidance, we will be rewarded with his eternity to cling unto him and to enter the king's palace. Although we all feel that we have not the properly pure qualities to be the king's servant, still, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Since all the indecent qualities that are inherently within us, the Creator has planted them in us and has created us with all the lowliness. Baal HaSulam said, the Lord is high, and the low will see. Since the Creator loves the truth, for this reason, the Creator brings near those who are truly low. Sometimes we come to a state of despair, and feel that we will never rise from our current condition. Meaning during the contemplation, it was said about this dusting, meaning that we must fight these thoughts, smoking under the tree to kill the worms that grow in it. It is written about the manna. They left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and became foul. Bala Sulam interpreted the manna, the man, to mean faith. It is known that each day we must renew the faith. This is the meaning of gather each day, meaning even if it is still day for him, he should renew the foundation of the work, meaning the purpose of the work. One has to know that his being in a state of day is only a result of faith, since if one follows the path of faith, he is rewarded with the clothing of the Shekhinah, divinity, each according to his measure of faith. This means that the day is not his goal, but he can use the day in order to testify to faith. That is, he will say, "Now I see that I've been walking in the path of faith, because the result I have is that of a day. It follows that I must grow stronger in the root." Bala Sulam interpreted the shepherds of Abraham's cattle. Similarly, he gives nourishments to Abraham's possessions, meaning the quality of faith, as his quality is the father of faith. But receive the quality of faith as the goal, as the essence. Otherwise, he will be regarded as bowing to the sun. While the foundation is only faith, one is in the state of poverty and lowliness, as it is written, "And I am a worm." In other words, Anochi, me, regarded as faith, causes him to feel that he is a worm, because his whole work is above reason. And because he is above reason, he cannot feel pride. But if he does not renew the faith, but rather, as it is written, they left, and he toys with his day and makes it the essence, then it bred worms. Where he should have been a worm, he bred. Meaning, well, he was proud, since he felt he was higher than everyone. And this is because he works within reason. From this he comes to bread, meaning pride. And his pride spreads afar until it comes to the measure of and became foul. As army men say, pride smells from afar. The advice for this is as the Mishnah tells us, smoking. The smoke comes by burning, meaning that each day he burns his work from yesterday, and only today he begins to get into the joy of a holy war, to bring out the land of Israel from under the authority of reception, and admit the point into a state where he feels that the wings of the Shekhinah, divinity, cover him. As it is written, "Who shields him all day, and he dwells between his shoulders?" In other words, precisely when assuming the path of faith, regarded as a burden that is carried on the shoulders, one is rewarded with the Shekhinah. It is as Bala Sulam said, that each day we must give to the Creator everything that He has been through, whether mitzvot or transgressions, and begin anew. This is also the meaning of smoking, for the smoke blocks the eyes, called the mind's eyes, which is one's within reason. Stoning means removing the stones. These are the understandings that he has within reason, which belongs to the stony heart. That is, when he feels day and feels zest and emotions in the work, he says, "Now I see that it is worthwhile to be a servant of the Creator, because I find pleasure and vitality in it." It follows that he already has support, meaning that from all those supports he gets many stones and has a whole building within reason. These are truly stumbling blocks. It is as Pharaoh said, "See upon the birth stool, if it is a boy, then you shall put him to death." That is, where you have pleasure, called stones, do not receive it into the stony heart, called reception, if it is a boy, meaning that bestowal has awakened to you from that, as in the shepherds of Abraham's cattle, then put him to death, meaning destroy these thoughts. But if it is a girl, meaning nukva, female, receiving everything into the will to receive, whether in mind or in heart, then she shall live. This is what Pharaoh advised to receive as vitality and foundation. But the path of Torah is to remove these views and thoughts. Cutting out means chopping off and cutting out the dry branches from the tree. That is, everyone has acquired from the environment by habit commandments, and dry laws should be cut off, meaning forget the laws of overseas. It is so because the land of Israel is called Lishma, and what one takes from the environment is only Lo Lishma. Trimming means that when there are many fresh twigs, it is customary to cut off some of them and put them aside. That is, even the laws and wisdoms that are truly moist, if they are too many, meaning that his knowledge is more than his works, then he must not use a lot of knowledge and scrutiny because the majority appears primarily in actions. For each act testifies to the qualities of his operator. We learn from all the above that people are akin to trees. This is the meaning of one who comes out on a Nisan, a Hebrew month, day, and sees a blooming tree, meaning that the trees have already begun to show their strength, meaning that it is already apparent that they want to impart fruits to man's benefit. To benefit means to bestow, as it is written, "My heart overflows with a goodly matter," meaning I say, "My works are for the King, which is good." And since the trees are blooming, namely giving, they are called good trees. Clearly, at that time, they are also good people, meaning that they, too, do things in order to bestow contentment upon their Maker. Otherwise, the trees, too, would not be imparting their fruits. As our sages said, "The whole world is nourished for Hanina, my son, because there are righteous who are giving. They act so that the trees will give." This is the meaning of "did not deprive his world of anything." It means that he has prepared for us the engagement in Torah and mitzvot, by which he will achieve perfection, called reception, in order to bestow. It follows that besides creating the will to receive, he has promptly prepared the correction of the bread of shame, so there would be completeness in the benefit. Thus, one must give oneself an account each day, renew his work in overcoming, and forget the past. Instead, he should be very confident that from this day forth he will succeed in achieving permanent and eternal difficult. May the Creator help us with all our trouble and redeem us with our souls, and we will be saved in corporeality and spirituality. Amen. May this be so.
Partano mi corami aftaotano veratzetabano romentano mi corazono aftaotano veratzetabano romentano mi corazono vekidashtano vemitzvotecha vemitzvotecha וקרבתנו מלכנו לעבודותיך ושמך גדול גדול והקדוש עלינו קראת ושמך גדול גדול והקדוש עלינו קראת
Announcements.
Evening lesson. You're all invited to watch a recorded lesson with Dr. Rav Lightman at 6 o'clock on Svi Batova. Thank you to all our TV viewers. Have a good day. Arvut team. We're inviting all the friends from all the world to connect immediately after the lesson ends to Arvut team Zoom as a preparation to the week of congresses. A preparation event to the Kabbalah Lam Congress 2020. You're all invited to a special event this Thursday, February 13th, 7 o'clock, Rabash 12th Street, Petah Tikva. For additional details, please call us 1-700-509-209. Connecting to the source, to the root of life, friends, viewers, you're all invited to the World Kabbalah Convention, February 25th through 27th in Tel Aviv. Please pay attention. Only 4 days are left to the early bird registration. So please register as soon as possible. For other details, call us at 1-700-509-209 or email us convention@kav.co.il or in our website. At this we conclude. Thank you. Have a good day. Let's sing a song.
הכל התחיל עוד בבבל נפרדנו כך לכל תבל
חדלנו להבין אחד את השני איבדנו זה את זה בקשר חיוני
חצינו יבשות ומלחמות קשות
עכשיו הנשמות ביחד מממשות
בני שפות אנחנו מקצות עולם הגענו שפתנו היחידה היא שפת האהבה נשפות אנחנו מקצות עולם הגענו שפתנו היחידה היא שפת האהבה
היום כמו חג בישראל נוהרים מכל דבל
משתוקקים רק להתחבר והתפילה תלך ותתגבר
כי הנרות דולקים בכל הלבבות
עם אש האהבה נדביק את הנשמות
בני שפות אנחנו